The meeting of the Clinton Township Board of Education will now come to order. Time, Mr. Kilpatrick?
7:36 PM.
Thank you, sir. In accordance with the provisions of the New Jersey Open Public Meetings Act, Chapter 231, Laws of 1975, adequate notice of this meeting was provided through public notice on July 26, 2018. Faxed to three newspapers designated by the board, the Hunterdon County Democrat, the Hunterdon Review, and Express Times. Posting on the district website, the main bulletin board in the administration offices, and in each Clinton Township school. And finally, faxing to the clerk of Clinton Township. Mr. Kilpatrick, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Mrs. McLaughlin?
Here.
Mrs. Brennan?
Present.
Mrs. Brooks?
Here.
Mr. Foy? Dr. Foy, excuse me, is absent. Mr. Malloy is absent. Ms. Olowski?
Here.
Ms. Redalgada?
Here.
Excellent job.
And Ms. Grant?
Here. Thank you, sir.
Sorry.
Mrs. Redalgada, would you please lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance?
Sure.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mrs. McLaughlin, would you please be the process guardian for this evening's meeting?
Sure.
Thank you. Well, good evening, everyone, and I'd like to welcome you to our special meeting this evening with the primary goal of selecting one of you to fill an open board seat that was vacated about 60 days ago. First, I'd like to just say to you, don't be nervous, okay? Every single one of us have been in your shoes. We've all applied for open board seats before, so we actually have sat where you've sat. And on multiple occasions, some of us have sat where you've sat, where we haven't been selected the first time, but we came back again, and eventually were able to sit on this side and volunteer for this position. So please just relax, answer the questions. This is, you know, no one typically bites here, you know, so if you could just relax. The way this evening will work is we have two areas, two microphones, if you will. We'll go in alphabetical order. There are about 12 questions that we have. Each of you will have an opportunity to answer those 12 questions. So we'll go in alphabetical order. So the first person will go first to answer the first question first. But don't panic, because then the second person goes first the second time for the second question. Then you will go first for the third question. And then you'll go first for the fourth and the fifth, so that everybody gets to be in the hot seat without any thought and having to kind of react on the fly. There's no time limit to the answer, okay? And if you need time to think, please take your time, okay? Again, this is not, you know, high pressure, high stress here. Take your time, think about your answer, and take as long as you would like to provide an answer to whatever we ask. Does anybody have any questions before we get started? No? So after we ask all the questions, we will then go into executive session, and then we will discuss each of the candidates that are here this evening, and then select one to fill the seat. The seat will start this evening, so you'll get plunged right into it from this point on through the reorganization, or up until the reorganization that happens in January. Okay? Any questions at this point? Anybody on the board have any words of wisdom or would like to say anything?
Be honest.
Good luck. Good luck.
Be honest. Be honest and be yourselves.
Yeah. Yes, absolutely. Okay. So, Ms. Brennan, would you like to ask the first question? And would you go? Yeah. And then Mr. Holliday, would you go to the second microphone, and then this way we can move through it efficiently, that would be...
So you might want to put that on the floor. It's going to flip up on you. There you go.
Behind you is the bottle. Didn't step on it.
Please tell us a little about yourself and work experience and what makes you a valuable asset to the board.
Hi. Can everyone hear me fine? Mm-hmm. My name is Allison Grantham, and I'm currently the Director of Food Systems Research and Development at Blue Apron. I have worked there for the past 3 years, approximately, and I lead a team of about 11 people right now to work on what are sort of tasked with what we call ingredient optimization. So it's a margin building function for the company focused on improving our food cost and labor efficiencies and packaging efficiencies. So year to date, we're delivering around $11 million of savings for the company. So I have experience managing large budgets and people. And prior to my current role, I have a PhD in ecology and biogeochemistry from Penn State and worked in agriculture, sustainable agriculture research and education through nonprofits and Penn State Extension. And I am interested in serving on the board because I have two young children. My husband and I moved to the district about almost 4 years ago, and our daughter just completed kindergarten at Spruce Run School this year. And a big part of why we moved to the district was for the great schools here, and I'm interested in helping being a part of preserving that legacy and enhancing it and making sure that our schools are strong. Excellent education for my children and the other children of the community.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Holliday?
Hello, I'm Bob Holliday. I've been a resident of the area for about 4 years. My wife and two daughters moved here. My oldest daughter finished here a couple years ago and is now going into her sophomore year at North, and my youngest will graduate from CTMS this coming May. So she's very excited about being part of the oldest group in the school and the status that supposedly brings. I'm not quite sure I understand that. I have a BS in organizational management and an MBA with a concentration in human resource management. If I were to be selected to be on the board as for some of the committees, I think that relates well to the facilities and finance committee. I've got a strong background in accounting and finance, understanding managing budgets and tracking budgets and those kinds of things. Between my military background and my civilian career, I've worked in learning and development for about 25 years. While there's certainly differences between andragogy and pedagogy, which is the study of adults versus children, there's a lot of transferable skills there as well. I've got a lot of experience in curriculum analysis and design, in measurement and evaluation of curricula. And I think, again, that aligns very well with the Policy and Curriculum Committee of being able to support the background in those areas. Within that life sciences career especially as well, I've managed large teams of upwards of 35 to 40 people. I've had the opportunity to hire over 100 people onto my own teams and to interview well over 1,000 people. So as from the Personnel and Negotiations Committee, and as we go into looking for a new superintendent, I have a lot of experience in interviewing and hiring. I've trained people on target selection, behavioral interviewing techniques, and things along those lines. So I think my skill set from those experiences align well with a number of the committees and responsibilities that this role could bring. Also through my military background, I'm retired from the Air Force Reserves. I served a little over 20 years, about 17 of that time was in a learning and development or training function aligned with security forces. So security forces is the Air Force version of military police. So I have a pretty steeped background in security, and one of my passions is around school security and how do we make sure we are doing the best we can to protect our children. Past life, going back about 7 years ago, we actually lived in the town right next to Sandy Hook. It was a very personal commitment, or personal connection to myself, my family, and to people I worked with. One of the women that I worked with, her son was in the building. So what we do to protect our children is something critically important and something that, again, my background and experience, I think, supports, and I could add some value to that from the organization. So my hope is that you folks find that my skills and experiences could potentially add some value to the organization. As far as why I serve, since I retired from the Air Force, I always look for an opportunity to serve the community in what I've done. When we lived in Connecticut before we moved here, I was very active with the American Legion. We worked on the oratorical, which is a high school scholarship for kids that present a presentation on the Constitution and on Americanism. I helped the school develop their Veterans Day program within many of the schools. In fact, I did that here in our district. When we first moved here, I worked with Mrs. High, and we actually helped to create the program that the school still uses there for their Veterans Day program. So again, that's something that I'm passionate about, and finding a new way to serve the community now that we've moved and really settled here into New Jersey, this is a great opportunity, I think, for me to be able to do that. So I will shut up and move on and let you go.
My name is Emily, and I actually attended all the schools here in Clinton Township except for this one. This wasn't built yet, but I've lived in the township my entire life. And after graduating North Hunterdon, I attended Rutgers, and I have a bachelor's in science and marketing, and I have an MBA from Texas A&M. And since then, I have experience, which I think will be beneficial here, with Walt Disney World. I did an internship at Disney World, and also with Coca-Cola, where both situations I was dealing with the public, and I learned high communication skills, because especially in Disney World, I was dealing with people from around the world and gained so much confidence being able to talk to anyone in any language, and that gave me skills which I think will be useful here, being able to clearly spread a message, which is necessary when you're, you know, dealing with people from, you know, different backgrounds and teachers and the public. And currently I'm a brand manager at Cordasis, and we do a variety of different products, but primarily I do different activities with creative materials, but also financial decisions. So different things I do are, you know, interviewing potential sales representatives for us, invoicing customers, deciding which products are beneficial to create, which products are no longer useful for us and are no longer generating enough income. And the creative thinking necessary also is useful for generating creative ideas for here as well. And why I want to be on the board is because I am a property owner here, and I understand the public's opinion of the financial implications of the budget, and I also have a niece and nephew in the school district too, so I understand that the school is important, and I want to continue the proper education and traveling, you know, to Florida and being around those people. And I did an internship there, and coming across people from all different school districts and colleges, I understood the benefit that Clinton Township school districts gave to me, and especially with the writing skills that I gained from the school district, I found very important, and things that I didn't value at the time that I now see very valuable. And also, I think that I have a personal emotional connection to the school, so I just want to see them succeed.
Hello, my name is Michael Mora. I'm married, I have three children. My oldest daughter is 13. It still sounds funny saying that every time I say it. She will be in the eighth grade over at the middle school. My two youngest girls, they're identical twins. They will be turning 11 on Monday. They've been reminding me every day. And I think the primary reason I'm running is I've had children. Everyone started Spruce Run. I've seen the work and the programs the school offers on every level, all the way up now until the eighth grade. And overall, I'm satisfied with the education that the children have, the opportunities they have in enrichment programs such as POPs and Silver Sprint and things of that nature. Okay, thanks. by way of background, I'm a lawyer. I started working in a litigation firm. My first job was a civil litigation firm. I think the value of that is that you didn't necessarily specialize in any one thing. In other words, the whole job centered around problem solving. You're always tempting to settle cases before they went to trial, and there was a new issue every day. So one day you might be working with a partnership dispute in a liquor store where they're going to lose their license. The next day you're at a manufacturing plant trying to figure out how someone was injured in a manufacturing airplane parts. None of these, you have any prior experience before that, but you have to learn on the fly. You have to be able to learn enough about these different industries to resolve the problems. Currently, or for the last 18 years, I've worked for a small company in Baskin Ridge, and what we do is we create curriculum for people in the insurance industry. So people in the claims industry, insurance is closely tied to the law. For example, God forbid someone was in an accident tonight and they got sued, what you would do is you would send the complaint and all the papers to your insurance company. Your insurance company would give you a free attorney. All right, the trade-off is you no longer control the litigation. They make all the decisions on whether to settle, whether to go forward, who to interview, what depositions to take that need to be taken. So there's a need in that industry for education on how the law works. So we provide, we have like 8 programs. We create the curriculum. It's everything from auto accidents to specific insurance how specific insurance policies work, to medical malpractice, to environmental issues, to business issues. We're constantly looking for new programs to create. Then we write the courses. We have to determine what specifically goes into the courses and the best way to teach the material. So I do have an interest in education, and although it's probably different, some experience in implementing a curriculum, and it's something I enjoy and I have fun doing.
Thank you.
One more. Yep. Catherine Rehimaki, thank you guys for having us this evening. So I come to this position with a career in science education. I am an environmental scientist. I work and teach at Princeton University. So my background is primarily higher education. In 2003, I received my PhD in earth sciences from the University of California, Santa Cruz. Since that time, I've been teaching in a number of different institutions, and so I have a lot of familiarity with what students come into college having experienced and what they need in order to be successful. Among the things that we talk a lot about at the in higher ed are things like Common Core and Next Generation Science Standards, and things that I know our school district has to grapple with. I'm particularly interested in issues around the closing of Spruce Run and the consolidation of sixth grade into the middle school, and you know, trying to understand how that's going to impact their science education experience. Beyond that, I, having been in higher education, that is a model of shared governance. And so faculty and administrators are involved in all aspects of managing the institution. That means budgets, that means personnel, that means curriculum. Things that would be directly relevant to being on the board. In particular, when I was faculty at Drew University, I was on the budget committee, so I was involved in deciding year to year what the university's budget would be and the nuances that went into that. I was also involved in establishing a revised general education curriculum, so all of the discussions that went into that were directly part of what I was involved in. I would love to be on the board in part because I am the product of a public education, and I value that tremendously. We're going to have a Connecticut connection here, so I grew up in public schools in Connecticut, and I know that among the selling points for New Jersey and a lot of the Northeast states is the quality of our public education. That's directly tied to our high property values. And so I want to make sure that that is maintained. As with Allison, I also have a child who is going into first grade, and so I have skin in the game, as it were, so I want to make sure that the education that he's receiving throughout his time in the Clinton Township School District remains excellent. Thank you.
Second question. Thank you so much. Second question is, why do you want to serve on the Board of Education? Can you share with us any prior board, nonprofit, or volunteer experience that you have?
As I mentioned a little bit in the introduction, I've always looked for service opportunities in coming out of the military, looking for another way that I can give back to the community and serve the community. So I think this is a great opportunity to be able to do that. As I mentioned before, my experience in security, learning and development, interviewing, budget management, I think are all skills that could potentially be valuable to support the board. And at the same time, I think it's about an opportunity to make sure we're finding that right balance of providing a great education and supporting the taxpayers at the same time. And finding the best balance to that, because I think the board has the primary responsibility of finding that balance, of making sure we continue to support the educational programs, and with the declining enrollments and all the other challenges that provides, how do we still find the right balance in the budget to be able to do that? I've not served on boards before. I actually have created governance committees from a work perspective, so I've got a little experience on that side. In fact, I just created one about 4 months ago. To oversee the what's called GXP compliance learning within our organization. So some familiarity with what GXP is down at the end over there. It's the FDA requirements around how do you do things as you're studying drugs, producing drugs, things like that. When I joined this company, they had nothing and it was really a mess. So I created a governance committee to oversee the input and provide insight to what types of learning the organization requires around that, and I chair that committee. From a volunteer perspective, as I mentioned again a little while ago, I've done a lot of work with the American Legion and a lot of their outreach programs to kids and scholarship programs through that. And it's been a little while, but I also did some volunteer work with what's called the Radio Reading Service, where you actually sit down with the microphone like this and read the Sunday newspaper. And the blind can connect in on their radio and get the paper read to them. So that was something my wife and I did for a couple of years and had a lot of fun with that. My wife's got a radio background as a DJ, so she just thought it was cool to keep talking to the microphone. So that's kind of how we got connected to that. So that's my thanks.
So why I think it's important to be on the board is to, as he mentioned, to create a balance between what the taxpayers need and what the schools need and the teachers. And I think it's necessary that to satisfy the taxpayers, because they moved here because of the great schools, most of the people, so we want to keep them here and keep enrollment rates high because we're closing a school because of, you know, decreasing enrollments, and we want to entice more people to move into the district at the same time. And it's important that we keep budgets intact, you know, keep them in check anyway to satisfy these taxpayers. So by not inflating them, especially since we are closing a school, we should be saving money. So we need to manage the budget, but also maintaining the Blue Ribbon School status. And we need to account for the teachers too and ensure that they're, you know, keeping their, you know, if they want to get more education and everything, so that they're still maintaining their satisfactory education levels and providing good education to the children, and any technology updates that are necessary and any other programs that are necessary also. And I haven't sat on a board before, but I've also done volunteer experience, a few different things. I've done Mansions in May, if people aren't familiar with that. It's to raise money every few years they hold it for the Morristown Medical Center, where you, they have host a mansion and you participate in it, and they have people coming in, but I acted as a museum docent and explained it to the people, and then they raised money and they built a cancer ward for children there. And then I also recently participated in the Women's U.S. Open too, and was a volunteer there.
Like I mentioned before, the primary purpose I want to serve on the board is just the quality of education. Like I said, I've had kids go through go up from Spruce Run all the way to middle school. I've been very happy with the general education, the special education, the enrichment programs that are offered, and I want to make sure that continues. As far as volunteer work, I worked with the American Cancer Society for like 10 years. I was on the Relay Life for Life committee. I think that's a little different than it is now, because the ones I've attended, I don't think they're all night long. Back then, we were actually organizing events that were 24 hours. You were a part of a committee of about 12 people that oversaw the whole thing, and then you would break down into subcommittees. Some of the ones I was involved in were the Survivor Dinner, which was nice. So you would, at the very beginning, there'd be an opening ceremony, and then you would organize a dinner, usually under a tent, for all cancer survivors. So that involved going to restaurants, getting food donated, organizing that, making sure everything arrived on time, because everything was through donations. So there was a lot of time and effort outside of our meetings. I was also involved, which was kind of fun, was the something called the Midnight Run. It was the event that bridged the two nights together. So what we actually did was we had about 11:45, we had anywhere between 50 and 70 brave people who actually wanted to do a 5K run at that hour. So what we did to save costs, I would get donations. Sometimes I would go raise like $600 in prizes. We had someone that was good with a computer that would input all the names. We had prizes based upon age categories. What we'd also do is we'd drag kids out to actually count the laps of the people that went around. Each kid was in charge of like 10 runners, because again, we didn't want to spend the money to get an electronic system in place. So like I said, I did that for about 10 years, and that was enjoyable.
Thank you.
So I grew up in a family that valued service very highly. So I grew up in a Presbyterian church, and in high school I was a deacon for that church for a couple of years. Since then, I've made it a point to volunteer on a very, very regular basis. But in terms of serving for boards or nonprofit groups, higher education institutions are nonprofit. And so a lot of the issues that boards of ed run into are very similar for institutes of higher education. More recently, in terms of volunteering work, I am the leader of a grassroots nonpartisan political group in this area. It has about 500 members, about 100 active members, and I'm the lead person in charge of organizing monthly meetings, generally around becoming more informed on political issues, again, in a nonpartisan way, generating some action items for people to work on. That includes regular volunteering, so we're trying once a month to get out and volunteer in the local area, most recently in the Woodlands Wildlife Refuge, and before that with America's Grow a Row, that's a regular place, and upcoming is with Habitat for Humanity. And so there's a very high emphasis throughout my life in service and giving back, as well as showing leadership on organizations that are about community building and about making our community stronger.
Hi. I also grew up in a family, it was just my mom and I, but that's one type of family, that highly valued service to the community. My mom was a teacher in Los Angeles Unified School District, and we were members actually of a Methodist church, and very involved in the programs for providing relief to homeless families in the area. So I grew up doing that and also volunteering with animal rescue groups. And then when I was in high school, I organized my high school's AIDS Walk event and was the president of the student body organized all sorts of events like that that associated with that, you know, all of the school dances and that gamut of things. And then went off to college and became very involved in some environmental groups on campus, as well as a group that was involved in establishing re-establishing a farm on campus. So my college had historically had a farm that, of course, during World War II provided produce and actually meat and eggs for the dining halls. And we worked to get that reestablished. And actually my senior year, the summer between my junior and senior year, we had our first harvest and the food went to the dining hall, sorry. And so I was involved in that. And then after graduating, I worked for a nonprofit and so was involved working with their board. I didn't start in the position, but I became a director at that organization, so was involved in the quarterly board meetings and all the budgetary stuff. And at that time, that was in the Lehigh Valley. And my husband and I bought a house on the south side of Bethlehem, and so I became involved in a community group that was sort of a collaboration between Lehigh University and the community, like Lehigh's sort of outreach organization. It was called the Southside Initiative, and worked to establish community gardens on the south side, as well as the campus community garden. So I did that while we lived there, and I also served on the board of MAREA, the Mid-Atlantic Renewable Energy Association, where I was in charge of our monthly outreach events, so doing the press releases and making sure we had food and that there were flyers and that people knew about it, and that sort of advertising and community outreach. And then we went through a very exciting period in our life where we moved 6 times in 2 years and had a toddler, and I did not do any sort of anything. So our life has calmed down a little bit, and I just this year accepted a position serving on the National Academy of Sciences Food Loss and Waste board committee something. We're organizing a big event in Washington, D.C. for October. So that consists of monthly conference calls, finding speakers, recruiting speakers, setting agendas, that type of thing. And I also run my company's partnership with Feeding America. So I coordinate all of our food bank relationships and actually oversee, literally am the person that schedules trucks for our donations for our New Jersey facility. So I work closely with hunger relief organizations in a professional capacity.
Thank you.
On to the next question.
Yes, please.
Okay. So what is your understanding of the total time commitment that a member of the Board of Education is expected to commit to on a monthly basis?
So I understand that typically there's a monthly meeting at the, I believe it's the fourth Monday of every month, and then those would last around 1 hour to 2 hours, and then in between then I would imagine that there's, you know, time that you have to review the materials and then meet in the midst of the between meetings to converse between each other. So I would expect it to be almost like a second part-time job where you're working, I would imagine, at least 5 hours or so per week and just reviewing materials.
Thank you.
I think my estimates would probably be similar. I think there's there's going to be, you have the monthly meetings, which I can, I think can run up to 3-4 hours long, sometimes longer. I know there's individual committee meetings. I know some committees meet multiple times. I'd imagine there's materials that you need to review probably over the weekend prior to the Tuesday meetings. So I would imagine it's got to be about 30 to 40 hours a week, somewhere in there.
I have my cheat sheet from Mary Melfi, which is the Board of Ed kit that says the survey of people is 11 to 50 hours a month. I would expect that it might be on the slightly higher end of things, given that we'll be facing a superintendent search and that the adjustments to the school closing.
I asked Maria Grant about this over the phone, so I have an understanding that I think is pretty much in the neighborhood of around 5 to 10 hours a week, I would say. And with depending on which committee you serve on, your time commitment in any given month is going to be different, with some committees having more of a distributed workload and other ones like finance having, you know, when the budget is due, there's going to be a glut of work. So understanding that it varies committee to committee.
I was able to find that same document from the National School Board Association that said 11 to 50 hours. Again, given a board meeting a month, one or two committee meetings a month, and again, depending on the committee, I'm assuming that the there's a subcommittee for negotiations is probably pretty busy, and there's the personnel committee looking for a new superintendent that's probably very busy. So there's probably some time added from those perspectives. But I would guess, I'll agree with the majority of my colleagues here, probably on the high side of that 11 to 50.
Thank you.
Hi, what do you think the role of the Board of Education is, and what is your role specifically as a board member?
I think the role of the Board of Education, I think there's some oversight involved. I think the primary role is probably to work with the superintendent and others to implement a strategic plan and follow through on that plan. I think you probably also evaluate the superintendent. I think within that, you're going to be analyzing and voting on policies that you will need to have the district run and make that plan work. I think this ranges everything from curriculum to policies involving bullying, electronics use in the schools, all the way to school safety. I think the primary responsibility of a board member, if I understand the question, is to work with the board as a team in implementing those goals. I think you have to be willing to listen to others who know more. You have to be willing to learn. I think it's important to listen to the community. I'm trying to think. Yeah, I think that's pretty much it.
I was a little distracted by needing to adjust the microphone down to my height, so could you restate the question?
Sure.
Thank you.
West Hartford.
West Hartford.
That's where I go.
Connor?
She could tell how you talk.
Connor.
I digress. Okay, so what do you think the role of the Board of Education is, and what is the role of a member of the Board of Education?
Great, thank you. I could just read it straight off the sheet here in front of me, but let me synthesize, which is, you know, as I understand it, the role of the board is kind of the umbrella group. So thinking about the goals for our school district, what are the policies that would go into facilitating reaching those goals, overseeing the budget and the hiring of the superintendent, you know, all of those kind of large scale, top-down looking policies and decisions. I think, you know, more generally, you know, hearing from all of the stakeholders and weighing the various needs from different members of the community, that means the public, the parents, the teachers, the town council, the administrators, and making sure that there are fair decisions that are as transparent as the law allows, so that we can get buy-in from the community in the direction that the board sees our school district going in.
Thank you.
I don't have a vastly different view of the role of the board than the folks who have already spoken. So I believe, you know, setting the overarching goals for the schools and, you know, hiring the superintendent, all these types of important decisions, and being the body that searches for and finds the common good between all of the diverse stakeholders in our education system here in Clinton Township. And so I think that basically defines also the role of a board member, is to be a person who is actively soliciting the stakeholder feedback from all of those different stakeholder groups and making sure that they are, you know, going out into the community, creating, you know, being a presence that people can come to and provide feedback and also communicate out, you know, in a different format than the newsletters and all of the other things that go out to provide that sort of level of trust and transparency that comes from direct neighbor-to-neighbor communication. So I think that that's the importance of, that's why we have this structure and how those two pieces sort of fit together, the board itself in its overarching umbrella form and then the role of the individual member.
Thank you.
And again, people have talked quite a bit about the policy oversight role of it. I think there's also the educational planning component of aligning and defining the curriculum. How do we execute the curriculum? How do we evaluate the curriculum? I think that's part of what the board has to help set that vision expectation for the superintendent to be able to go execute upon. Also looking at the budget and the overall planning around that, as well as then as the bylaws say, the interpretation of that or the communication of that to the community, and making sure that we are able to articulate what's happening, why it's happening, what's the causes behind all of those kinds of things. That's a critical component. And having been in a couple of the board meetings when the vote was made to close Spruce Run and a few other things, which side note, you didn't ask, I think was the absolute right decision to do because it makes the right business decision and doesn't compromise the quality of the education. But there was certainly some frustrations within the audience about what they felt as communication. Again, I'm not sure what we can do differently. I don't know the behind the scenes stuff on that, but certainly an aspect of it. The role of the board member, I think, first is to be informed, to do your homework, make sure that you're making informed decisions about whatever the board is voting on. And to do that is doing your research, reading the materials that come before the meeting, but also being connected with the school and with the community. It was funny, when we got the yearbook for CTMS this year, my wife was paging to it and was laughing that we've been in the district for 4 years and somebody was foolish enough to put this ugly mug in the yearbook all 4 years. So I've been around the schools enough and involved in the activities that somehow or another that keeps popping up. This year's was actually with Relay for Life, by the way, from that event. So it's being here, it's being involved, and it's getting to know the people and to the community and hearing what the different perspectives are, and then doing the best you can to represent the community, not your own personal opinions on everything that comes through.
So as everyone has kind of mentioned, the role of the Board of Education is to ensure that the superintendent is keeping track of the school district's goals and ensuring that the school district is running properly, and also making sure that the budget is sound and ensuring that the school district has a great curriculum in place, but also having clear communication to the public, because fortunately and unfortunately, you're the voice of the school district to the public. And like he mentioned in the meeting where the announcement was made for closing Spruce Run, there was, you know, upset people, and you have to deal with that and know how to communicate properly and the, you know, the reasoning behind the closures and or whatever the circumstance may be. And now I feel like there is proper, there's weekly messages going out and there's resolutions and continuing communication styles like that is, you know, what is necessary, and I think the public will appreciate that, and so understanding things like that is necessary. And then I think the role of an individual is to kind of be a neutral party and understand that you need to act as for the greater good. And if you personally feel that one way, oh, I don't really, you know, think that's too important, you need to look at the greater picture and see, okay, well, maybe this program is important for this child or the school district as a whole, and that you need to approve that or realize that, okay, this dollar figure for this piece of technology or this program is necessary, even though it might add this much money to the budget.
I got it. As a member of the Board of Education, who do you work for?
I would work for all of the stakeholders, everyone who has some skin in the game. That means that we work for the taxpayers, we work for the students, we work for the teachers, we work for the administrators, we work for the parents. Fundamentally, I think all of us have a philosophy of the students first, and so ultimately the quality of their education is of critical importance, but also the value, and I think the cost of what that education entails is definitely a factor. So lots of different competing, sometimes groups with competing interests, and so I think that's one of the challenges of being a board member is trying to weigh those competing interests.
So I agree that we, as a member of the board, you work for several different stakeholders. But I think there is a prioritization among those stakeholders where the children do come first, and so their needs and their educational outcomes need to be taken sort of as our first priority. That's what we're here to do, is to maintain and enhance the quality of their education to the greatest extent possible, with taking into account the needs of the other stakeholders that are part of making that a great reality, the taxpayers, the teachers, the parents. It's really a partnership. And I see it, recently my husband and I had to make a decision about where to send our son for preschool. And it was we both have PhDs, so it was perhaps an overly long, drawn out process that involved us making independent school visits so that we could not influence each other's decisions and opinions. But then the final finale of all of this was that we hired a babysitter and then we went to a coffee shop. And he had a formalized decision-making framework that we used, which was based on identification of shared interests. So I think that my view and of all problem solving is really it's a process of identifying where our shared interests are, who the groups are that we need to be identifying those shared interests from, and then explicitly, saying what they are, and then working to optimize the outcome. So there is no one boss, but there is the one chief outcome that we're all working for, and that's the children.
Thank you.
I think very simplistically, at the end of the day, if it's who the board works for, it's the taxpayers in support of the children. There's a lot of other factors and people that play into it and that are influencers in the process, but at the end of the day, the board works for the taxpayers and the community in support of our children.
I agree with everyone here that there's many stakeholders. I believe that the children are first and that the taxpayers are also important. But I was just actually in a work meeting today with someone that lives in New York, and she sends her kids to school in New Jersey because her school district is terrible in New York. And I have yet to meet one person in this township that has not moved here because of the school, not because of the school district, because of the great reputation there is. And I think that is the draw to move here and the reason that people stay here. And that's the kind of the balance that you have to do, and you weigh the high cost of the taxes because of the great school. So although the taxpayers are important and we do want to, you know, account for that and minimize the taxes that we are paying, we have to account for the quality of education at the same time to maximize the benefits for the children.
I'm not going to repeat everything that was said. I think, in general, you're working for the best interest of the children, and as an indirect offshoot of that, it's the community as well as a whole.
Okay, in the area of social media, how would you represent yourself as a member of the Board of Education?
Good grief. So social media is so fun, isn't it? I think that it is a necessary communication tool in this era. And I think that representing, you know, being clear that you are a representative of the Board of Education publicly in your social media presence, whatever that may be, is important. I suppose that if I were to be selected for a seat on the board, I would probably create a new public profile. I don't really appreciate, or in my personal existence, I find Twitter to be thought vomit, and I don't actually have an active Twitter profile, but I do see it as an important avenue for communication. And so having a Twitter that people could use to communicate with me, and maintaining Facebook and, to whatever extent, Instagram could be used as an actual constructive means of communication. I do think it is important, and if I were elected to the board, would be willing to maintain a presence in social media to just be a sounding place where people could come with questions, and also to communicate what, you know, my email is and how else to get in contact with me. It's just sort of a necessary evil.
Love the philosophy on Snapchat. And then everybody who's got a tween to teen child understood that same philosophy. I think from a social media perspective, first thing, know what your privacy settings are and what you're doing there. But you've got to be cognizant of what you're communicating. And you have to understand that in today's world in social media, everything is public, and everything has a history, and nothing is ever deleted. So if you're going to if you're going to be on social media, you have to understand those are the constraints, and again, be thoughtful and cognizant of what you put out in the Twitter sphere or whatever else you're working on. And I'm not sure there's much else you can do other than trying to be conscious of that. Although I do like the idea of maybe creating a separate Facebook profile or something like that. Again, probably more transparency than you're looking for. I'm on Facebook for my military buddies, the guys that I served with. They are not people that I really want the community reading their thoughts because they are some rude, crude individuals. But when you serve multiple tours like most of them have in multiple places around the world. They're allowed to do that. But not necessarily what I would want in the public spectrum because of some of those guys that I've served with.
I also am not big on social media. I personally only use it for work, and then for myself, I use it just to basically post travel photos when I go on vacation. But if it is needed for the job to be publicly accessed, I could create a separate one, but for my recollection, I don't believe that there's a Board of Education social media page, but I could be wrong on that. But I think it's very important not to post any political thoughts or anything like that on social media to sway opinions or think that the public may think that, you know, we have any agenda like that.
This question made me smile a little bit. A few years ago, the company I work for is small, so a few years ago when the economy took a turn for the worse, I got worried. So when I went out and I did something I always wanted to do, I got my real estate license, was with Coldwell for a while and had to create a Facebook page for my real estate. I did that for 5 years. I enjoyed it, but then the economy picked back up and I went back to my day job. But now every time I log on Facebook, I get a message that says you have 100 real estate followers waiting for you to say something, and I never have anything to say anymore. But I do have a Facebook page. For me, I think it's probably good to communicate general things. For me, I would rather meet with people in person or speak to them directly. I think you gotta be very leery. Anything you put on online, not only doesn't go away, but I think when you type, and it's the same thing with emails, people can't read your emotion, and sometimes they read into it. So I think it's always better to have face-to-face meetings.
So I would reiterate what my colleagues have said, tread carefully. I think a separate account that represents the public persona is a good approach if that's the medium to communicate with the public, but you have to be really careful about that for exactly what Mike just said. You know, misinterpretations happen all the time. Anyone who's been on the Clinton Township discussion board knows how nasty that can get, and I think it's very important for board members to recognize that.
Never
no one long. More than you.
It's very important for the board members to recognize that they represent not just themselves in that type of venue, but also the board. I want to also add one thing that hasn't been mentioned before, which is that the board members have to be cognizant that there are some things that legally cannot be shared and should not be shared. And so I think being very careful about exactly what information is being distributed via social media, not only in terms of misinterpretation, but in terms of the legal responsibility of the board to make sure that there's confidentiality, the right chain of command, and so on, I think that's an important factor to keep in mind.
Thank you.
You don't want me to ask them?
So I'm going to quickly deviate. I've got a different question. So understanding the board's committee structure, if you were selected, what committee would you prefer to serve on and why?
As I mentioned in my introduction, I think I've got some experience that could potentially be valued to really any of the committees. I think the one that I would probably have the most interest in, though, is the personnel. I think given the turnover of three superintendents over the last 3 years and just the challenges that presents, I have a lot of experience in, again, as I mentioned before, behavioral interviewing, defining what are really the issues and challenges. I mean, I'm sure you folks have a lot more background on what's happened and why. But to do an analysis of that hiring process, what's happened, what have we learned from that, and what's the target of the kind of person that we want to bring into that position. Again, those are things that I've done quite a bit of work in the past for, and I think I could add some value to the team for.
I believe I would be best suited for the financial committee. I think my work experience would be best suited for that. I have experience with pricing strategies, invoicing customers, dealing with billing situations, financial planning, different aspects regarding, you know, all financial aspects of the business that we're in, and determining what is best to be cut in order to save money and add more capital at the end of the year. And I think with this, I have experience with personally too, with taxes and saving money with, you know, that could be added to the Board of Education.
I think for me it would be a curriculum, having a daughter who's went all the way from Spruce Run up into the starting eighth grade. I'm pretty familiar with the curriculum of Clinton Township. And also, as I mentioned earlier in more detail, the job I worked in for the last 18 years, we're constantly creating new curriculum for our clients and attempting to determine what is the best way to teach certain materials. So,
I think I have expertise for all the committees, but my particular expertise in education and in education research, I think, lends itself to the curriculum committee, evaluating how the students are doing, how our curriculum is working for all students, is something that is directly related to what I do for my job. As Bob said, however, you know, I think the personnel committee has some significant challenges in the upcoming year that I would be very excited to be a part of, because I think a lot of important decisions will be made there.
I am interested in the Finance and Facilities Committee. I, in my day-to-day at work, I have a lot of experience dealing with contracts related to our facilities and related to our finances, so negotiating with various contractors for everything from electricity to trash to recycling to food vendors, and so figuring out how to get the best cost, quality, service, and sustainability, and so I would be interested in lending those skills to our school finances as well. That said, I am also, my educational background and my experience developing materials, education and outreach materials, I do have an interest in the policy and curriculum committee. I'm interested in all of the committees, but I guess I would rank those as the top two my interests.